Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
For those of you who don't know me, I am Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And can we give it up for all of our guests who are here for the first time? So honored that you would join us this morning. Welcome. Welcome here to Every Nation Brisbane. We're in a series called In the Gap, with gap being grace and peace. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 24. I'm going to introduce our special special speaker. But before I do, let's go into the scripture here. Luke 24, if you've got your Bible, go there to your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can just read with us on the screen. Let's stand up in reverence for God's word and read this together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, and thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they was... oh my gosh. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you will be witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." How many of you would like to see God move with power from on high in your life? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We ask God that as our special speaker comes to deliver the word of God today, that you would open our hearts and minds and that we'd hear directly from you in the name of Jesus. And everyone shouted amen. Our special speaker needs no introduction. It's our wonderful campus minister, Roisin Welsh. And really honored to have her come and speak to this topic here today. But I did want it by way of introduction, because it's just a matter of weeks now that we're in her final month here in Brisbane. Everyone say, "Oh, we're really going to miss Roisin." So she's about to, and she'll expand on this. I don't want to steal her thunder, but she'll expand on this. She's about to enter into her next phase of life that we really believe alongside her that God's called her to. And as much as we're going to miss her, Tina and I will miss her, and I know everybody in this room will miss her, and the fantastic job that she's done on campus. Can I get a whoop for our campus students? We're in the final 3 weeks with her here in Brisbane, at least for the time being. But and we'll all get a chance to say goodbye to her. But we're really excited for you, Roisin, in the new phase, the new season that you're about to enter into. And I think as a church, we're really excited. And as much as we'll miss her, because she's done, how many of you would agree, she's done a fantastic job on campus, not just with what we've seen at UQ, but now QUT opening up. And we believe in God that Griffith is going to open up even more. But definitely what we've seen at UQ, she's been foundational in all of that. And we're just praying that God would take things to a new level, new height. But for those of you who may be asking the question, well, who's going to run the campus ministry? Well, we have a great announcement to make that we have new campus ministers who are about to return to Brisbane, and they wanted to come and say hi. All right, so that's our new campus ministers who will be here shortly. So we're really excited to have Mark and Adele. It's great to have a campus minister that looks like Jesus, inside and out. I don't know what God's doing there with that beard. But can we stand to our feet and give a round of applause for our awesome campus minister, Roisin Welsh, as she comes to deliver the word of God today.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Nellie. I've mixed emotions coming here to speak today, and I'm going to try and hold it together for the whole message so that you can be blessed by what God has to share with you today. But first of all, I just wanted to honor Nellie and Tina as being incredible leaders in this season. I came here almost five and a half years ago, previously a physiotherapist, came over in faith, trusting the call of God on my life to enter full-time ministry and to go into campus ministry. Had no idea how to reach the campus, apart from praying and apart from asking the Holy Spirit to help me every step of the way. Many people have helped out with that journey. I can see a number of their faces in this room. Helen Tawai being one of them, Jessica, a number of others that are here that have been a part of that journey. And it has been one that I will always treasure and memories that I will never forget. It's been a joy and a privilege to be a part of sowing into people's lives, particularly students and young people, into families. We've launched many students internationally, having them come to know Jesus and then going out and impacting their families and nations. And so that's always been my heart, is to actually sow into generations, not just into individuals, but hopefully into families and hopefully into communities. So it's been an honor and a privilege. And so today, it's my privilege to be able to share on the message of peace. As Nellie said before, there's in the gap is grace and peace. And so he shared about grace, and he talked about justice last week. And if you've been following the series, you would have seen that he's spoken about the different sacrifices made in Leviticus and how we are no longer bound by the Levitical law on the Old Testament, but Jesus came and fulfilled that law, amen, and we are free and we can be whole in Christ and walk a life free with him. Isn't that awesome? Okay, so the scripture that Pastor Nellie read before and we all stood up to read is from Luke 24. Now, as you remember, last weekend was Resurrection Sunday. So that's when Jesus reappeared. So he was crucified on the cross, and then he reappeared and showed and proved that he'd overcome death and grave by appearing to his disciples, his followers, and he said, you know, I'm alive. This is true. What I have to share is true. And so this scripture is taken just after Jesus appears to two followers after the resurrection on the road to Emmaus. And these two guys were sort of sharing with each other about how discouraged they were, how their follower had just left them, and what would they do, and was it true what he'd done? And Jesus just appears to them and just starts talking to them. They don't even realize that he's in their midst. They don't even realize that it's Jesus. They're just sort of, hello, you know, and they just keep saying about how discouraged they are, and yet Jesus appears. And then he appears to his disciples. And this is where we pick this up. Okay. All right. So Luke 24:36, it says, while they were still talking about this, so the disciples were all together. After they'd been scattered, they'd come back together and they were sharing with each other what to do now. Their follower had left. What would they do? Jesus himself stood among them. Okay. I just want you to get a picture of this. Okay, there's the disciples, there's 11 of the disciples and many other followers. There are a number of women there, Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene had seen the empty tomb, and she'd come back and told them. They didn't believe her. Peter for himself. A number of the disciples were still discouraged, and they were still needing evidence that Jesus was real. When Jesus himself embodied peace, he said, peace be with you. Now, in Hebrew custom, it's actually, in Israel at least, I've been there a number of years ago, the way that people are greeted is shalom. And shalom is not just a hello, how are you? It's a how are you really? How is your well-being? I hope all is well with you. It's a message of peace. It's giving a message of encouragement, and it's wishing the absolute best for that person. And when Jesus said this, peace be with you, he wasn't just saying peace as we know it. He was saying so much more, and we're going to get into that. The next verse it says here, they were startled and frightened, as you can imagine, right? Someone raises from the dead, and they're like, wait, you died. We just mourned for you. We ran because of all the persecution, and you've just turned up again? What's going on? They thought they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why did doubts rise in your minds? You see, this wasn't the first time that Jesus had said to them, I will return. If you read through the gospel, Jesus gave several mentions to the fact that he would return, that the things that would happen would take place. Yet I don't know if his disciples really clicked that he was prophesying what was to come, because they were really scared at this moment. They were troubled and they had doubts. Especially, we know Thomas, he had massive doubts. Then Jesus said, look at my hands. Look at the evidence that what I did for you on the cross happened. Look at it. See that it's true. See that it's real. And my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see. Now, a dead person you cannot touch. You can't. You know, a ghost you cannot touch. You know, Jesus, he came back in human form. And the disciples could literally touch his hands, touch his feet, and they saw that it was true. He says, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. You know, many of us in our Christian walk, and even if some of us today aren't yet walking with Christ, there's doubts that rise in our minds about whether Jesus is who he says he is. Now, this scripture shows us that even the people that walked with Jesus for those 3 years of his ministry, they saw miracles. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him heal the blind, cure the sick. Yet, there were still doubts when he appeared in front of them. How much more so us when we go through difficulties and we feel like Jesus isn't there? Then when Jesus shows up, we miss it because we think, but where are you, God? And he's right there in front of us. He's working behind the scenes. He's working in your lives. He's working in the lives of your families, of your spouses, your children. He's working in your lives. Yet sometimes we miss him completely. We may not see him in a tangible way, but I see him personally in the lives of each one of you as I look around this room. And I think the evidence that God exists, the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, is the fact that each one of you are here today. Each one of you are seeking and wanting to know this Jesus who I'm talking about. So what we're going to touch on today is the part of shalom which represents peace, but not only peace. You see, shalom is over 237 examples in the Bible where it talks about shalom. This is in the Old Testament, so the Hebrew scriptures, it talks about the word shalom. Now, shalom, it is used today, like I said before, as a greeting. And so if I'm to walk up to Myrtle, for instance, and I'm to say shalom, I'm giving her the best blessing that I can give her. I'm speaking to her health, well-being, peace, tranquility, completeness. Okay, that's such a powerful greeting. It's not just a, how you doing? Yeah, good. There are so many definitions. There's just a few that I've mentioned. But there's also another part of that definition is an inward sense of completeness or wholeness. Now, what does that mean? What does the word wholeness mean? It means to be in complete peace. It means to be a complete right standing, restored, without any lack, without any need for anything to fill any gaps. And when I think of this word wholeness, I am amazed at the fact that Jesus, even on the cross, took our sin, took our shame, took our everything that that we were ashamed to expose, he freely exposed on that cross to make us whole. There is no way that we could experience this completeness or this wholeness without first understanding the brokenness that he did on that cross. Let's go on. It says, while they were still talking about this, so I want to just take a moment here just to really think about what it means, actually, the word wholeness, what it means to be at that state of peace, that state of rest. And God has really been taking me on this journey of discovering what it means to truly have shalom, to truly have peace. As Nellie shared before, I'm preparing for a season of transition. And this is something that has surprised me, actually. Towards the end of last year, I felt something was going to change this year that I didn't expect for me to be leaving Brisbane this year. But towards the end of last year, I went to visit some good friends of mine in Seattle, and they run a company actually called PushPay, which is the company that we run our giving through. And they're very, very good friends of mine. They're Christian and have just such a wonderful heart for the Lord and such a wonderful heart for advancing God's kingdom throughout the world. And they sat down with me, and as I was talking to them, God really started speaking to me about this next season. And I tell you what, initially, I didn't feel peace. I felt this sense of, I can't leave Brisbane. I can't possibly leave these relationships. I can't possibly do this. I can't do that. And how many of us can relate at points where we come to in our life where there's a challenge, where there's a challenge to step out, there's a challenge to move forward, there's a challenge to actually change and embrace a new season. There's that propensity in us that wants to kind of cling to the last season and hold on to it with all of our might and think, no, not ready, not ready, I'm not ready. And yet there's this gentle, still small voice, this gentle pushing ahead, prodding forward. You're going to be okay. I am with you. You're going to be all right. You're not alone. I am with you. I have the best in store for you. I am your peace. Now this psalm, Psalm 23, has been a psalm that has ministered to me in this season. Now, it's a really common psalm. I'm sure many of you have read this before, but it is a psalm in this last season that has spoken the most to me. I want to read it to you. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd. It means he leads us. It means wherever we go, he will lead us. He has us. He has our best needs at heart. He has absolutely our best intentions. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. You see, shalom is not just about a state of peace. It's actually a state of restoration. It's where relationships come together. It means that our relationships are made as one. So we're no longer in discord or disharmony with one another. We're no longer holding offenses. We're no longer in strife or turmoil with our thought lives, with our minds, our will and emotions. We're in a state of peace and rest. That's where God wants us to be, as he leads us through still waters, as he leads us and lies us down beside green pastures. It speaks to me of rest. It speaks to me of this idea that we can be as Christians in a state of rest as we make decisions, at a state of rest in our souls where we navigate through our lives with him. We don't have to be chaotic. We don't have to be haphazard. We can actually be led by the greatest shepherd that we have, which is Christ, and he leads us and he restores our soul. He restores our relationships. He restores that sense of inner peace that we all desire. You see, sometimes we look for that sense of restoration through other means. Even myself in this last season, God has been prompting me not to move in fear, not to move in a sense of urgency or anticipation, but to trust him and to learn and lean on him, hear his voice, enjoy the season, enjoy this journey with him, so that that peace that I so desperately desire, I can embrace and I can walk in. See, God desires us to walk in peace. He desires us to walk in relationship with him, which means trust, which means restoring anything in our lives that is out of order. You see, when anything in our lives becomes falls off balance, or maybe it's to do with our family, or it's to do with our studies, or it's to do with our children, if anything falls or comes out of order, there's stress, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's a sense of urgency. But what God wants us to know today is that in every situation, every trial we go through, that his shalom peace is waiting for us to just rest in and for us to make decisions with. You see, when we're anxious, when we're stressed, we tend to make bad decisions. Am I right? Yep. I've made some really bad decisions sometimes when I'm just trying to do things too quick, or I haven't really thought about it, haven't really prayed about it, and I'll make a decision and then I'll go, oh man, it won't work. And so God wants us to be able to make decisions based on his peace. I don't know, have you guys heard that before? You know, when I don't know if it's just a Christianese thing, but when I came to Christ, when I was at 18, I felt peace. I felt shalom peace. I wanted to restore relationships with others. I wanted to walk in that peace forever, that peace I'd never encountered before, that peace I always dreamed about or thought it was maybe possible for others. But then when I stepped into that peace, I realized, wow, it's possible as a Christian to walk in His peace. But it's something we constantly need to be aware of. We need to be aware of just to ask for His peace. You know, when we go through situations that are hard or when we struggle through things, it's so important for us to call on the peace of God. Call on the peace of God over your families, over your situations, over your campuses, over your schools. Call on the peace of God that He would come and prepare the atmosphere for His word to go forth and for lives to be changed as His peace is released. Coming back to Luke 24, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" You see, they went from being totally disorientated, confused, distraught, to being fearful, to being surprised, now to joy and amazement. And like a moment, then the presence of Jesus standing in their midst, they were able to feel and express so many different emotions, and suddenly everything was okay. Now just take that moment just to think about, what would that have been like if you were to see Jesus after you've seen Him crucified on that cross, and then suddenly to see Him alive and joyful and wants to eat with you? Like, that's crazy. But He even showed them, "Look, I'll show to you that I have risen from the dead. You can see my hands, you can see my feet. Now I'm going to eat with you. Now I'm going to help you to see that I will fulfill every desire that you have. Every earthly, human, emotional desire I will fulfill in you." They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I've told you. Hello, I've been telling you these things for a very long time. This was going to happen. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds. You see, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the peace of God to help us read God's word. If we are in turmoil, if our minds are filled with clutter from the world, even stress, anxiety, how do we expect to be able to understand and apply the word of God? I have to call on the peace of God sometimes when I read His word. "God, I don't understand what you want to tell me. Lord, help me to understand your word. Give my mind peace so I can focus on you." Even as we come in to worship the Lord, how many of our minds just kind of drift off a little bit? I have to really focus to worship God, because there's so many things that have happened even in the course of the morning that cause to distract us, that want to take us off track, and maybe we're thinking about what to have for lunch or what we're thinking for having for dinner or our families. You know, it's a fight to keep your mind fixed on God. And we need to pray and ask God for that peace to help Him, to help us as we read His word. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins," which means to turn away from sin, "will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." See, He was commissioning them. He said, "Okay, now the evidence is shown to you. I am true. I'm real. Now I have a commission for you. I'm going to commission you now to do my work. But don't do it until you have received what is on high." So it says here, "You are witnesses of these things." So He's showing that He's true, so that they are eyewitnesses. "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high." So that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is His presence with us always, at all times. He's the one that is that still small voice in our ears that say, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I know what's up ahead. Don't get discouraged." See, I don't know what some of your situations are here today. There's many people, so I'm sure that there are many situations that may cause you to lose your peace or cause you to feel like there is no peace. But I believe today that God is saying, "Look, in every situation you go through, I will continue to be that peace that you need. Just call on my peace. Just call on my Holy Spirit, and I will be with you. Do not forget what I have told you. Do not forget my word is true. I will appear in any situation." He is alive. He will appear again, and He's with you. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5 says, this is when Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus' death on the cross 600 years before He even was crucified. He said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced, and he was literally pierced. There was a spear that went into his side. There were nails that went into his hands and feet. His flesh was pierced. For our transgressions, our decisions, our mistakes that we make in life, that we regret, that we are ashamed of, he was crushed for our iniquities. As he was on the cross, his body literally suffocated because his body was pushed. He tried to push up, but his fluid from his lungs went out and he was suffocated. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. And by his wounds, by the brokenness of his body, we are healed. See, wholeness is only possible through allowing Jesus access to the inmost places of our hearts, the broken places, the unevangelized places. Many of you have situations you've not shared with anyone else before. Many of you may have thoughts and feelings, emotions, fears of the future that you've never shared yet. God is saying, today is the day. Release that. Release the burden. Release the stuff that you've been filling in your mind, release it and allow for his supernatural peace will just come over you. But it requires faith. It requires forgiveness, openness, vulnerability with God and others. That's why we have things like Victory Weekend. That's why we have things like discipleship, man cave, code, because we want to create atmospheres where people feel like family. They feel like they can trust others. They feel like they can open up and share their struggles. We are not perfect. None of us are. I sure am not. But I know that just being in this community has changed my life. And I know that if you keep it all in here or keep it all in here, you won't experience the peace that God has in a generous portion to give you. I wanted to share very briefly a testimony from my final year of university. I became a born-again Christian on the campus and university in Auckland. And I was in my final year of uni. I was training for a full marathon with a good friend of mine. I was quite sporty at the time. And we were running, we were training, and then I suddenly collapsed. And I woke up in the hospital. And I was in the cardiology department. And they said, Miss Welsh, you have a condition called long QT syndrome. Long QT syndrome is a problem with your heart. It's a problem with the electrical current that basically causes you to black out under stress. And so a number of times through high school, I'd blacked out, just thought I'd fainted, didn't know why. And then they diagnosed me with heart condition. So if you see in the heart ECG, just up there to the left, there's a normal ECG, and then there was my ECG. I tried to get copies of the records, but wasn't able to over the last week of my personal records, so you could see what my ECG looked like. It's okay, you don't have to fully understand it. Main thing is that bit at the end is longer, okay? And it causes you to go with a fast heart rhythm, and it causes blood to drain from your brain to your heart to try and pump it with oxygen, but it causes you to lose consciousness. And in some cases to die. And so I was in hospital for 3.5 weeks on my back in the CCU department in Auckland. And that caused me to question stuff. That caused me to ask God some pretty major questions. Now, they had told me at the age of 21 that I wouldn't be able to probably conceive children or be able to exercise or be able to compete in any competitions. And for a 21-year-old physio student, that was pretty major. And I remember lying there, unable to use any technology or anything, and just lying on my back for 3.5 weeks through many assessments and tests and all sorts of things, asking God some big questions. See, I didn't realize there were things in my heart that God wanted to bring out. See, I thought, I'm Christian now. I'm all good. You know, like I can just go forward in Christ and I'm all good. And yet God wanted to minister to me that he actually had to take me to a place of complete rest where I couldn't move so that he could deal with matters of my heart. And at that time, some of you from Auckland will remember too, you know, my pastors were there and for the different things I went through, they were going to place a defibrillator into my heart to keep my heart beating normally and to protect me if I did faint or if I did lose consciousness that I'd still stay alive. I was very nervous about this, and I thought, but God, you saved me, you healed me, right? I don't have any more issues because God, you've made me whole. And yet God was saying, there's still things I want to do in you. There's still things I want to take, and I want to go deeper. And he's calling each of us to a deeper place today with him, to not just look at the surface things in your life, but to really allow him to go deeper. Now, this for 3.5 years, I had a device in my heart called this Reveal device, where they recorded my heart rhythms. I'd have to go into the hospital every week, and they would monitor me very closely. That changed my whole life, from going from being someone that's very athletic to someone that was, it was very difficult for me to do much. However, through those 3 years, God caused me to trust him in such a deep way that caused me to trust him for my healing, to trust him that no matter what, he had it. I was coming up to inserting the defibrillator, and I remember crying out to God, going, why? I don't want this device. I don't want my life to change. Why is this happening? And then suddenly, I just really felt his voice saying, I've got a plan. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. You know, and I'm cutting the story short a little bit because there's more, but God, and on the day that I was meant to have the defibrillator inserted, my results changed. Now, I don't know what happened, but I believe that God caused a miracle. It's a congenital condition, which is a genetic condition, which is not meant to change overnight. You're kind of stuck with it. However, my results changed. My ECG changed. My blood pressure changed. All these things changed. And the cardiologist at the time was, what's going on? And I was just like, God, I trust you. I trust you. You can do the work in my heart that needs to be done on an emotional level, on a physical level, without this device. I'm trusting you. Went back for further assessment. They said, we don't understand. Your ECG has normalized. We don't even know if we need to insert the defibrillator anymore. Guys, this is a miracle. God called me to a place of wholeness. I gave him authority. I gave him trust. And he healed me. The thing is, he wants to heal each of you emotionally, physically, spiritually. There is nothing that he will withhold from you. See, I had this thought that I could never be fully whole. I thought I would have to be restrained for the rest of my life, yet God set me free and he changed my life. And now I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that I am whole in Christ. It's about who you identify with. You identify with a born-again Savior that took all on the cross for you and came back and revealed that he was true and that he can make you whole. Romans 5:1-2, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with him as we trust him. He has justified us. He has bridged that gap between us and God. We were separated from him. We are separated when we walk away from him, when we live our own lives, when we try to just squeeze him into our schedules, when we try to add him to our lives. We're separated from him. Yet Christ, in his infinite mercy, died so that he could bridge that gap between us and God. And now we are called into relationship through Jesus, whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. See, we can stand in the peace of God. And amidst the storm, we can stand. In the midst of struggles, in the midst of family problems, we can stand and pray and ask God for full wholeness over our lives, over our families, over our campuses, over our children, over every situation. God calls us to seek him for that wholeness. The question I have for you today is, have you brought your brokenness to God? See, we do a good job at covering our brokenness up for others. Each one of us has areas of brokenness, unevangelized places in our hearts that we have not allowed Jesus to make whole. Maybe you've tried before and it hasn't worked. Maybe it's been a difficult journey for you. I don't know your story. But I want to share with you that God made it possible for me to receive healing and to walk in wholeness. And I believe that he is no respecter of persons. He does not favor me any more than he does you. That actually he has called each of us to be whole.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.